Want to talk about a new movie?
Check.
Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network, hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
My guest is Danny Gokey.
Hey, Corey. The man, the myth.
What else with Corey Mann? On the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
As we are talking via Zoom, the technology, I'm going to guess it looks like sort of a kitchen, but my eyes are drawn to this beautiful photo behind you of a husband and wife, a bride and groom. What is happening in that photo?
One of the greatest days of my life. This right here is when I won the heart of my wife. That's Leia Sett. From that moment, I was able to trick her into marrying me, and she cannot escape me. So that's where we're at.
How did you meet your lovely wife?
Do you really want to hear this?
Do you really want to tell me?
I met her on Twitter, and Chuck Norris is part of the reason why we know each other. This is a true story. You ready for it?
You had me at Twitter and Chuck Norris.
This is true. I was hired by Chuck Norris's foundation to do his fundraising event, his foundation. He's a Christian man, and he has a foundation that does a lot of good. This is April 2011. So I meet Chuck Norris, and you know, I get to meet him. My band gets to meet him. And one of the things I tell him is like, are you aware that like there's this whole thing happening with you? You're kind of looked at as like a Greek god, and like nothing can defeat Chuck Norris. He's like, yes, I'm very right. And I go, there's a lot of books out there. He goes, well, I have my own book. And I said, I asked him, can you tell me your favorite Chuck Norris joke? I wish I could remember what he said. But anyways, I went and tweeted, I think, what he said. And in my mentions, I saw a girl I'd never seen before. And I was like, oh, who is this? Click on the profile. She's really pretty. And I go to her page thinking that I'm special. You know, trust me, I had my Twitter for years. I've seen all the regulars who were in there. She wasn't one of them. I was like, maybe this girl likes me. I look at her page. I'm one amongst many hashtag Chuck Norris jokes. You know those hashtags? I'm just one of many. So automatically my heart's like, ah, oh. I thought that she just, you know, had something special, but there was a lot of Chuck Norris jokes in her feed. I message her in Spanish. She messages me back, and I'm not lying, sir. Our very first phone call, I heard the Lord deep. It felt like water rushing out of my spirit, but I heard this, not an audible voice, but I heard, that's your wife. And it freaked me out because I was my first conversation, hadn't even met her yet. Chuck Norris, thank you, sir.
Follow-up question, was God's whisper to you in Spanish?
Ella es tu esposa. No, he didn't yet. It was English, and it kind of freaked me out. If I had like spiritual hands, I would have pushed that down. Like I was like, that was weird. Where did that come from? But this November, it'll be November 30th. It'll be 10 years of marriage. 4 kids, lots of good days. And as you know, Corey, lots of tough days, but we're still standing.
I was standing, faith, I saw walk by, faith for my brain, live by, faith before you. Oh, I believe, standing.
Faith. When were you self-aware that you could actually sing?
Growing up, we had to sing. So I thought that's what, you know, ignorantly, I'm like, that's what we all do. We all sing. Everyone sings, right?
You're born into it.
Born into it. And I was driving home from church with my parents. I was in the back seat of the car. We'd come home from church. My parents had, this is back where they had tape players in the car. And I just started singing. And my dad looked at my mom and said, he's got a really good voice. And that shook me. I literally sat back because I was leaning forward in my seat. I sat back and I looked out the window and I was like, I can sing. I had no idea I could sing. I wish I could say from that point, I stepped on the stage, grabbed the mic, and began to rock people's faces off. But I didn't. Went to school the next day, lived life with that revelation. I could sing.
But your youth pastor kind of nudged you to the stage, didn't he?
He did. So that was 13. So at 12, I get this revelation and life just goes on. 13, this new pastor comes to town. He's a youth pastor. I'm like, who is this guy? His name was Chris Castilleja. Well, he hears I can sing, and that man did not let up. And I'm grateful that he never let up, because he caused me to sing my first solo in church. I sang Holy of Holies by Clay Cross in front of the church. Do you remember that song, Corey? Were you familiar with that
one? I remember it, yes.
In the Assembly of God Church, which I belong to, they had this singing competition. And at 18 years old, I sang that very song. And, did I sing that song? There was another Clay Cross song. I Turn to You, Lord, was the one I sang. You remember that one? I think it's called I Turn to You. I turn to you, Lord, in my hour of desperation. My youth pastor picked all these songs for me because I had no idea what songs these were. And I made it to finals. That was in Missouri. And then I got cut. It wasn't good enough.
You and I have similar backgrounds. I grew up in an Assemblies of God church as well. Were you a Royal Ranger?
I was about to ask you. Yes, I was. I was a pioneer. I was a trailblazer. But I failed. I did not get my gold medal of achievement.
There's something interesting happening here. You lost in Missouri. You didn't get the gold medal. You come in third at American Idol. There's something to learn in this thing. And what do you think it is?
Let's revisit another point in my life. In ninth grade, I tried out for the elite singing group at my school, the elite that my brother made. And I got cut from that one too. His name is Charles. Good old Charles. He made it. I didn't. But what's the lesson we learned here? Don't let other people's no become your no. Because if you begin to absorb their no, you could maybe miss out on what God's trying to do with you. Maybe you have years of development. But then there's another lesson to be learned. Because as we learned on the show, some people should have been told no. And they never were told no. And then it became the laughingstock of American Idol, which I actually thoroughly enjoyed those auditions. You want to know one more thing?
Yes.
I remember when I moved to the top. Oh, man, this is going to sound so rude. Because we're Christians. We're like supposed to like, sometimes I feel like we're supposed to have like this faux humility. Like, oh, you can't do that. But honestly, this was not faux humility. When I made it before the judges, Simon, Paul, or Randy, right? We were in a room with all the other contestants that made it to go see them. And I could call out about 10 of those people who were going to be told no and be used as a good point of humor for the show. And I so wanted to tell them, like, run now. But unfortunately, they were told yes too many times by their parents. Then American Idol tells them yes. Oh my gosh, that's even worse. Because now they really are reinforced that they can do it. Anyways, that's just a side note.
You were on season 8 previously. Did you watch the show and see a performance or a singer and go, okay, I can do that as well? Was there one?
I watched the show the previous year. That's the year that David Archuleta and David Cook were the last two. Such an interesting year. But it wasn't neither of them that got me wanting to try out for the show. Remember, that's the first year I watched. There was a guy named Josiah Lemming that year who was homeless. His story was incredible. And I was so hooked to this kid's story. He made it to top 50 and then to Hollywood. And then at the end, he gets cut. And I remember I was so intrigued with this guy's story. It was so emotional. He's crying. He's kind of battling out with the judges. I after he's kicked off, I go on the internet and I Google his name. And this is back in 2008. His MySpace came up. He had 1.2 million followers on MySpace. And this is what happened. The thought was planted right there. If I can just make it to Hollywood, I can have some kind of career. Just give me those 1.2 million followers. I'll do the rest.
So it wasn't win the contest. It's just get to this particular level and I could maybe...
Never did I think that I would make it beyond Hollywood. I mean, of course you want to, but like you kind of just get like this reality check. All right. Hey, you know, everyone thinks they're going to make it to the top 10. But I saw the opportunity still that even if I didn't make it, I guess that's what I should say. I saw an opportunity even if I didn't make it that far. Just getting on the show can get you a bunch of people that know of you and you can start releasing music.
1 month before your audition, your first wife passes away. How heavy was that sadness of that loss?
Dude, it was heavy. And I mean, heavy is basically I saw life from this brand new angle of, I don't want to be here no more. This is what life is. I'd rather just go to heaven too. Now, I wasn't suicidal at the time. It's just like, what's the point of living? Because I'll tell you this. When they say the two shall become one, it generally was, we became one, because when she passed away, I felt an amputation in my spirit. Or maybe it wasn't my spirit, it was my soul. That, man, that was it. I don't know how to explain it. I felt like it was amputated. But it was, here's the thing, it was the last year I could try out for American Idol. And so it was like a huge wrestle to go do it. You know, because of the timing. But, you know, even though I didn't want to do it, thank God that he, the master orchestrator of stories, right? And I do believe he orchestrated it for it to be that rock and hard place, because probably wallowing in it would have been the worst thing to do, right?
When you got dropped from that first label, would you have done anything differently? Would you change anything about how you handled it?
Wow, that's a good question. So, Corey, because sometimes I look at it and I think like the blanket Christian statement. Sorry, if you hear kids yelling.
It's a reminder that you are a father, as am I, and we are in this thing together.
You're a good man, Corey. I look now and I say, you know what? Thank God that he's got that verse that everything works together for the good. Because maybe if I would have just leaned in a little further and not just kind of come up with my own plans and just, I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I think I would have prayed a little harder and leaned in a little further. You know what I mean? Because I think maybe God would have gave me some different direction. But thank God, like, it's come full circle. Because the whole thing that when I signed with a different label, I just wanted to reach more people in dark places. Literally was it. The whole idea was like, man, because I was so impacted by how many people that didn't go to church that were impacted by my testimony. And a lot of people would just mention how they're going to go to church now. They've given God a second chance. I mean, I got a lot of testimony. I was like, man, what if we could just take a career path that goes into dark places? But I look at hindsight and I'm like, God, he didn't need that. He was like, no, you keep your faith. And it's cool because I'm working on some projects now that I think are going to go into some dark places that God had this whole story written out. All I had to do was just keep moving forward and he'll steer the ship, even if it's a wrong decision.
Is it hard to be Danny Gokey?
Obviously not, since I'm laughing. Here's where it's hard. When I get selfish.
How so?
There is a version of Danny Gokey that is crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives through me. That is a great living right there, man. I impact a lot of people. But there's that other Danny Gokey, the one that tries to, you don't push Christ out, but so to speak, take the steering wheel. He's not so much fun. He can cause drama. When I say this, I'm talking to everybody, because everyone who is a human being should know what I'm talking about. When we get in the way, we become not great parents, not great husbands, not great whatever it is, you know?
Do you approach the new project any different than the previous ones, or are you a creature of habit?
Here we go. That's a good question. Here's what has to happen. I always say this, God, you're the greatest songwriter of all time. You're the greatest artist of all time. The greatest, help me, write through me, speak through me, all these things. That's kind of the idea. And then by faith, I receive it. I start receiving it. Like, I'm a son. I receive that he's going to. And so, because it's not like I just like all of a sudden, like I get hit with electricity and like I just get a head full of words and like, oh, this is a song. That'd be nice if that happened. But by faith, I begin to believe and receive. I don't know how to explain it. It's like my spiritual arms go up, my hands are open, and I start receiving from God. And I feel like this record is no different. There's several songs on it that were inspired by something that God has spoken to me, or verses that I woke up with in the morning that I would, like, I would just wake up with this random verse and I'd be like, and as I meditated on it and I look at the chapter it was in, I'd be like, this needs to be a song. This is the heart of God. This is what he wants to say. So that's really a big process to it.
The name of the new album is called
Jesus People.
Is it hard to name a record?
This one was easy to call Jesus People. It was the pushback that I got from my own team that made it hard. Before anyone looks like an enemy, because they're not, let me explain why. We live in polarizing times. So my label, whom I love, Capitol Records, have been great to me. And my manager, whom I love, who has really been a blessing to me, Penny. They all pushed back and said, I'm not so sure about that name. But here's why. Jesus is such a polarizing name more than ever before. you could be shut down before the music ever got out there. And that was a scary point, but I had to adhere to it. And it wasn't that they didn't want to. They're just saying, hey, you might be able to impact more people by not saying that and just letting them get the song than saying that. And then Spotify doesn't want to add you to this list because it sounds like you're excluding people. You know, there's so many ways that it can be interpreted. I was ready to move on to another title called, I have a song in there called He Believes in You. The Lord spoke that to me one time some years ago that I heard in my spirit say, I believe in you when I was praying. And I was like shocked by it. And you got to listen to the whole song. And there's this whole story behind it. I'm not a heretic because people struggle with that. But it was, I knew I could prove it out through scripture. But I was ready to name it He Believes in You. And then my manager went on vacation that week. And when she came back, the Lord dealt with her heart. And I was shocked by it because I'd moved on from the title. And the Lord dealt with her heart and said, it needs to be Jesus People. So she went back and said, after prayer, it needs to be Jesus People. And I was so excited. I didn't have to fight that battle, which was kind of cool. I think my label meant the best. My manager meant the best. And when we told the label, they were like, all right, we're ready to go with it. We know the challenge that we have ahead of us. Let's do it.
Who hears the finished product first? Who's the first one?
I play it for my wife. And she's probably the worst person to play it for. And I love her. I don't like that song. Dude, the label loves it.
Dude.
Yeah, I bro her. I bro her or bro. I dude her in that moment. Bro, what do you mean? By the way, that's a big Miami thing. And when my wife bros me, like she like Miami, like bro, like that's the thing of bro. Oh my gosh, yeah, man. So I bro her back in that moment. And then I go to my manager and I go to my team and I go to friends. But I always show her and I just get like some of the worst reviews on my music. And then after she does it, she goes, don't listen to me. You know I'm terrible at this.
When you're not touring, when you're not recording, when you're not writing, what do you like to do? What's fun for Danny Gokey?
So there's two aspects to that. I got up this morning at 5:40 to go play basketball. That's fun. But the whole getting up at 5:40, that's a wrestle. I'm a musician. We know how to sleep, right? I like going on dates with my wife. My wife put up an Instagram post yesterday that was so funny. And I was with Matthew West. She forgot the key. We have a key fob and I had it in my pocket, so I had to get her back. We walk outside and she has her phone recording. And she just said, if you get a chance, you need to watch it. She's like, are you two boys having a play date? And she just starts like, I'm so glad you're taking him, Matthew. Make sure he doesn't drink milk. He can fart a lot. And don't roughhouse. It was just hilarious. Hilarious.
It's time to turn the tables on the question answering.
I've known you since 2014 when Hope in Front of Me came out and nobody believed in me, right? We only had 7 ads that song out the gate. It became a 4-week number one. Why did you decide to add me? Especially when a lot of people were like, well, he did country before. Does he really want to do this? I want to know what made you different than everyone else say, I'll add this guy's song. I'll give him a chance.
There was a time when I did watch American Idol and I watched the season you were on. There was a talented pool of people there, but I was pulling for you. I was hooked to your story. I have voted for 2 idols in my lifetime. One was you. The other one was Colton Dixon. I truly believe you can sing. And when you sing, people listen. It happened with Hope in Front of Me. It happened with your new song. We were at a conference and you got to that final 90 seconds of that song. And man, it was up and to the right. And I'm actually getting goosebumps even thinking about it. It's those moments, those glimpses of, man, is this what it's going to be like when we get to sing together on the other side of this thing? And do I just go ahead and let him lead or do I try to chime in with some sweet harmony?
I like option B, chime in with some sweet harmony.
I just got to find my note, Brother Dan. I just got to find it.
Yeah, keep looking. Keep searching. You'll find it.
Keep looking. Keep searching. My thanks to Danny Gokey and Capitol Records. Danny's on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify. The new album is called Jesus People.
Corey, you're the best. Love you, man.
I love you too, pal. Have a good rest of the day, okay?
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback. Write a review. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.